All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a little TDM, and he's got a little boss on the radio. How you doing, my boy?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Terry?
Oh, hi, boys.
Hi.
Let's all have a little group hug here.
Oh. What are you wearing? Okay.
I'm playing you some Bruce Springsteen. Can I hear a bit?
Okay.
Come on, buddy.
Saw him the other night at this roadside bar. I was walking in, he was walking out. We went back inside, sat down, had a few drinks, but all he kept talking about.
Sing a song.
Glory days. Well, pass you by, glory days.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great, man.
Thank you, Sat.
We were kicking this around earlier on the show. 49 years ago today, a 16-year-old kid by the name of Bruce Springsteen recorded his first song, That's What You'll Get, with his band called The Castiles?
The Castiles.
Was it The Castiles?
Yeah.
Okay. So 49 years ago today that happened.
But the reason why I'm playing it is because that's the song that Bruce Springsteen sang on the David Letterman show in 1993 and tore the place apart. Ended up standing on the piano, on Paul Schaefer's piano on the top of it.
My nightmare with Bruce Springsteen is when I brought him out in Toronto at the CNE, and Bruce Allen was behind the curtain. He said, all right, boy, I want you to go there. I want you to get the record label. I want you to get the Bruce Allen Agency. I want you to get it all in there. I went, okay, Bruce. So I went out, ladies and gentlemen, 75,000 people have gathered here today for the boss, the one and only, Bruce Springsteen, a presentation of Q107. Can you dig it? So I go off, and all of a sudden, Bruce says, you get your ass back out there and get the Bruce Allen Agency, and don't forget the record company. You forgot everything. So I had to go back out. Anyway, I just thought I'd come back out here. It was one of the most embarrassing things of my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. I just want to some of the things that I'm going to miss about Letterman.
Wow.
First of all, there's the Rat Pack, Bill Murray and Steve Martin, and you know, Marty Short doing the songs, Tina Fey, Julia, but the bands, R.E.M. in 83, Sonny and Cher redoing in 87, Bruce, Oasis, 95, Prince, Willie Nelson, and then the new bands, Alabama Shakes, first time for me, Madison Ward and Mama Bear, I talked to them yesterday, Darlene Love doing 18 years of her Christmas tune.
I mean, yeah, you'll miss that.
I'm going to miss that a lot.
Yeah.
Because he turned me on to bands. They turned me on to bands. I'm sure it was Schaefer's call. Mm-hmm. But Schaefer knew the bands, knew the Canadian bands. Get him on. Right?
Thunder Bay. Yep. Boy from Thunder Bay did good.
And I love Letterman. And here's actually, Sat, if you got it, here's Paul Schaefer's final word. Did a bit of an expose about a background, some of the comments. His face was obliterated.
Not lately, David was surrounded by a talented staff and crew.
David Letterman is a no-talent loser. I mean, look at him. He's like poultry in a suit. You are disguising my voice, aren't you? Yeah, okay. Anyway,
he can kiss my Canadian ass.
Everybody got shots. And that's the thing about Letterman was he gave shots and he took shots really well.
The Joaquin Phoenix interview, to me, when they put him in the film and he wasn't in on the joke, and still how he came up with some beautiful lines in that and was quite pissed off after he found out that he was in there. And it was a ruse, yeah.
Still, it was one of his favorites.
And one of his favorites.
And I loved the last show because he just took his favorite stuff. The kids. Nobody expected to see the kids again. It was beautiful moments. And he had so many to choose from. I just loved it. It was a great, classy way to go out. And I'm lost now. Now what do I do?
Well, you're going to have to wait for the heir apparent, Jimmy Fallon, to still put a few more years in there. And he was doing his impersonation of the boss. I mean, his music ability, his dance ability, his comedy ability, his interview ability. It's the new. You know what, Dave? Terry, you're getting older.
You can call me Dave if you want.
Sure.
Does people call you Dave?
All the time. Val Bromfield was one of the funniest people I ever met. She was a writer that they tried to turn into a performer, but she was an incredibly funny human being, and she was on the Letterman show for a couple of years in the beginning at NBC. Yep. And he would send her out with a live camera. She'd just come back with stuff. That's all. She'd look at people's lunches in the middle of a lobby or something. And I remember her telling me that every day the creative, the brass at NBC would take him to pick his show apart the next day. He'd have to go in at noon, and they'd pick his show apart. And she said, he'll never make it. I don't think he'll ever make it. And to his, to this day, 33 years have he put up with all that stuff. Lenneman has my vote.
That's what was the most impressive part of that show? I thought the restraint. The restraint.
It was.
I loved the behind the scenes stuff, which I'd never seen before, which was great. Obviously, the top 10 list was the greatest top 10 list of all time, and the way that Dreyfuss had the great line, and with Seinfeld in the background, his reaction was great.
Yeah.
There were so many great moments. I've never seen a goodbye show like that.
No,
it was so well crafted.
The way it started.
Oh, just all of it.
A couple of presidents. That's all.
Yeah, I love the top 10. Yeah. What was your favorite top 10 line?
Baldwin.
Because you're geographically closer to my home.
That's right.
His delivery
is perfect.
He is unbelievable. I know he gets knocked a lot, and he does a lot of stupid, angry things.
Yes.
But boy, has that guy got some comedy chop delivery.
Yeah. I'm going to miss him. We're talking about Letterman, and he's gone now.
Yeah.
I mean, they can repeat it. I'm sure we can watch it ad infinitum, but I'm just going to miss that. That buzz every day.
Why did they take the set and throw it away? They took it out to the dump. The only thing that they saved was the George Washington Bridge thing in the background. That they saved.
That's it.
But they took the desk.
The chairs, all the blue stuff that's in there, chopped it up. You're right there.
Maybe it was Dave.
No. No. Yeah, I mean, it was like the old Seinfeld thing. We ran it this morning. You remember when Seinfeld and they found the Merv Griffin set and Kramer wanted it in his house?
Yeah.
Sat play it. Sat's not here.
No, he's gone now.
Yeah.
Okay, can I talk about movies now that Sat's gone?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Kristen Wiig, you like her? She's funny. Do you like Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live?
I do.
She's quirky. Dave.
Okay.
Kristen Wiig.
Okay.
All right. What she's doing is building a career. She's moving on from Saturday Night Live, and she has a new movie out there called Welcome to Me. She is a woman named Alice Klieg. She has borderline personality disorder. She's off her meds, actually. She wins a lottery, $57 million or $58 million. And in the middle of her speech she's doing an acceptance speech for the press, and they cut her off. She's in the middle of saying that masturbation is something that gets her through each and every day. And they cut her off, obviously. And she's so mad, she goes and buys her own television show and starts her own talk show and then does the weirdest show you've ever seen in your life. And if you like the work of Kristen Wiig, if you think she is absolutely funny, go see this movie, because I loved it.
You used the word masturbation.
Okay. I did. Yes, sir.
You know.
Well, the big movie out there is Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big stars. It was shot here in Vancouver. You got George Clooney. You got everything. You got Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
And you're trashing it. You say,
well, no, I didn't. Have I said a word? Have I said a?
You said it off the air. You said David's crap.
No, I didn't say it was crap,
you said
David.
Crap.
No, he said
it's really hard to follow.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
It's like Game of Thrones for you, Dave. You can't follow it, therefore you don't watch it.
It starts at the 1964 World's Fair in New York City. George Clooney's character is a kid then. He invents a flying belt, so to speak. Brad Bird, by the way, is the director. He did The Incredibles and he did Ratatouille. So you know he's got the chops. Yeah. But and you know it's shot in Vancouver because Gary Chalk's in the movie. Gary Chalk is in every movie ever shot in Vancouver, and he has the pin that hands it to the young girl, and the pin is what you follow throughout the movie. Anyway, I'm just saying that the bad guys are dumb parents, bureaucrats, politicians, uncaring morning show hosts, and worst of all,
really?
A lack of optimism. Pessimism rules the day. And it's how we feel about our future is what this movie's about. It's a very complex movie, but
almost as complex and convoluted as that explanation.
Thank you so much.
So there you go.
Then there's Poltergeist, which is there's always an audience for a scary movie. They're literally bulletproof, which is why many of them suck beyond belief.
Better than the first Poltergeist?
That could be your question of the day, because you know what? The first one was really good.
It really was.
The first one was awesome. Spielberg in it,
yeah.
Wrote it and produced it. Sam Rockwell is in this one. I thought Sam doesn't do bad work.
He's my favorite.
He's really good, and he's quirky. So but you know what? Believe it or not, it could have been so much better. It could have been so much better. It's scary, and for scary movie fans, they'll just go. They're going to go no matter what I say.
Best Sam Rockwell movie?
Oh, man.
I like Moon. Remember
oh,
that?
Oh, yes, no, I
that
do
was,
remember
oh my
Moon.
God, that was...
There's too many. You caught me on that one.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's all right.
By the
not
way,
not written down at your age.
No,
you have to, and I understand.
There's another. That's the second age joke he did, Dave.
No, no. Wait,
Dave,
hey.
What's he saying? What's so, he saying,
I'm just
Dave?
Saying, if it's not written down now, you're kind of lost. I've got to be honest.
By the way, there's another movie out there called Saint Laurent. It's Yves Saint Laurent, and I wear his pajamas. That's all I can say about that movie. That's it. Tasting Room Radio, 10 interviews at the fishing docks down at Granville Island at Falls Creek, mostly chefs. Wall-to-wall chefs, the Wine Diva, Saturday morning at 10 a.m., has rosé for the heat. So I brought you a rosé.
You know what? It's for me, it's just on the borderline of just being sweet enough.
Just like your bride.
My bride will love that.
Okay, Bailey Groman, that's from Grand Forks, by the way.
North Dakota makes wine?
That's a Blanc de Noir. I wish I could tell you the price, but I know it's got to be under $20. Bailey Groman, that's one of the rosés that you might want to think about. And change your mind about rosé, Dave.
I'll try
to. Talk to Brenda.
I will.
Because, no, rosé is...
Because rosé is all year round, but right now it's perfect.
No, and rosé is solid.
I'll get to your second one in a second. And, and anyway, that's it. That's 10 a.m. Tasting Room Radio. By the way, down at the Prawn Festival, they were pouring Sipes Rosé.
How was that? And Spotfront Festival.
I love that Spotfront Festival, man. I love it.
Did you go away with bags of it? Or?
No, I had to go somewhere else. I could, yeah, you can't pack around prawns in your car.
They don't really last,
And no, they get really pissed off.
Yeah. Oh, are they alive when you take them?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they'll jump. They'll pierce you in the middle of the eye.
Attacked by prawns.
Well, they have horns. And they'll
David Mulligan was attacked by prawns. Story at 10 o'clock.
Sat, you're back. Buddy,
okay. I have arrived.
Now, thank you.
Before we get out of here, just to wrap the Sam Rockwell thing,
I just
Galaxy
here.
Quest, okay? Just
oh, that's the best. That's
okay.
The best. Okay.
Sorry, I just want to make sure we're clear. Galaxy Quest.
That's the best.
Done. Okay.
And it's maybe one of the best comedies ever made.
All right.
Okay.
I
want to pour you wine of the week. This, by the way, boys, was supposed to be your wine of the week last week. But you were in Whistler, and I was here.
Yes.
Right? I expected you to be in Whistler. Very weak on your part.
Meg said...
Do a road trip. Dave and I did.
This, by the way, is Colome, Colome, 2011. It's a great Malbec from Argentina, from Salta, which is in the north of Argentina.
That is full-bodied. Beautiful. No, that is good. How much?
I think it's $30. I think that's what I wrote down. Isn't that a beautiful wine?
That could be the best $30 Malbec ever.
It is absolutely beautiful. It's called Colome, Colome. And I was walking the seawall midweek, Wednesday. Guy walks by me, and all he says is, what was that last Malbec we poured for you guys? Altos. And he did the thumbs up and went, Altos, as he ran by.
No way.
Yeah.
You just never know, man. No,
we're down to a shorthand there. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell. And I'm going to leave you with them. The Colome and the Bailey Groman, and everybody have a great weekend, okay?
You too, man.
You know. The Stones, by the way, 1971, started a four-week run at number one on the U.S. charts. Hit it, buddy. The group's second U.S. number one. When you play Brown Sugar this morning, everybody should play this one time or another this weekend, right? The album, not just the single. You got
no,
it?
The album, right. And the word comes up over the weekend at my place a few times.
So such a bitch.
Terry David Mulligan really leaves the out-of-control room in out-of-control. Brought to you by Regis. Need to open an office in Vancouver or get a team working in Calgary? Regis makes it happen, man. Regis, new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES. Take it out, Stones!